Christ. Father, thank you as we look into your word again, understanding ours. In the name of Jesus, we see clearly all that has been done for us. We see clearly the knowledge of the Son. We see clearly. Conviction is breathed again and fresh in our hearts, and we're able to convince men of the same reality. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, pick up your Bibles. Pick up your Bibles and your books. The local church is a school. Everything else, side attraction. The word is what we are here for. So the singing must teach us the word. Confession, the word. The prayer is to know the word better. Everything revolves around this. Nothing else. Your pastor is not an entertainer trying to make you happy. This is not where you come to drown the sorrows of your week. You should have joy in the Holy Ghost for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Okay, breaking dividing walls, part 7. Breaking dividing. Why did you escape? You escaped. There's something that chases people from this front seat. Part 7, the religion of peace. We have come a semi-long way. I think we are almost at the middle of our journey. If you are not conversant with what we have been discussing, well, just try and follow up. I don't know how you understand part 7 without part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But we trust that you understand at least each segment or each part focuses on something major. So wherever you find it, you'll be able to flow. But it's better for comprehension to start from the very beginning. Okay, so in the beginning of the service, the first sermon, we looked at what the scripture was talking about. What is that consistent message? Since we've already established that there is a consistent message in the scripture. And that was where we ended. Okay, Psalm 40. We'll start on this slide. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40. Jumma, open your Bible. There is an attitude in note-taking which the believer must learn. Those of you already doing workers in training exam, I'm sure by now you are wishing you were taking comprehensive notes earlier on, right? Abby, comprehensive notes. Are you not wishing that you had it? Because starting all over again looks difficult. Let me explain what note-taking is. Note-taking is not to jot down key points. It's not to jot what struck you. You know, somebody's preaching and you're just nodding your head. And the person just says something like, the basis of the knowledge of God is that it floods the head quantumly in leaps and bounds. But then you're looking for things to jot. So that way you get home. What did you learn? You'll not be quoting those things. If your notes, a person that was not in service cannot pick your notes and get coherence from beginning to end, you have failed in note-taking. Your note-taking is a documentation of what happened. So imagine you're a secretary taking the minutes of a meeting, right? So it must flow. If, for example, a scripture was used to emphasize something. For example, there's a scripture in this church that has been explained over 10 times. I judge no man, but the word that he speaks, have we? I meant as it be explained here many times. So when another sermon is happening or another teaching, and that same scripture is explained, there's a tendency to not want to write it down because you already know it. But the person that said it was not saying it casually. He said it probably to buttress something else that he will understand. You understand. But if a person picks up your note later on, the person will not be able to understand how you jumped from here to here. Or you just write down that scripture and don't explain. Do you understand? So if something is said, even if it's 50 times, write it down. You are a student of the word. Student. Note taking is what you learn. Learn. I know some of you, when you were in school, you just go and stay at your lecturer and you're nodding. And I can remember your brain is, how do they call magnetic brains? Just, boom, so long as it said, it has entered. But please, in church, cultivate that habit of writing. The time I see some of you looking at my face, I'm wondering, what exactly is there? Look at your Bible, look at your book, and write. Okay? Thank you very much. Let's continue now. Psalm 40. I know it before. It's not an excuse not to write it down. You are not the author of the Bible. No matter how old you are, how much you know, you will still be a student of the Bible. So that must reflect in your attitude in learning. Psalm 40. Okay. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. And we said in the morning that the person that is coming, it must tally. The person must come according to what the scriptures have said concerning him. So when a man comes and says, I am this person that the scripture has been speaking about, we will say, hold on, let us check. The scripture says it should be like this. It should be like this. Did it follow? We must measure it. Nobody can. If it was not there as evidence for us to know what to expect, anybody could have come and say, I am he. I am he. I am he. Stephen, are you following me? I am he. So ensure that when you hear, I am the Christ. So we are not trying to push a person down your throat and say, this is the person. This is the Christ. No, we are showing you from the same book and it must what? Tally. Okay, so that's where we are starting now. Part 7 is to show fulfillment. We said the prophet, the last prophet that spoke was Malachi, and he ended his prophecy by saying, God is coming, and before he comes on earth, that there will be a messenger, someone who will prepare the way. So let us start. How did this happen? Someone is coming, is going to identify the seed, is going to show you who that seed is. Okay, so let us go to the Gospels now. The days of fulfillment. Luke chapter 1. This whole part, just be ready to be opening. We're doing comparative analysis. Opening. Your hand will be going through the Old Testament prophets back to the Gospels like that. Are we there? Luke 1, verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without, that outside, at the time of incense. Zechariah the priest was offering incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fell down, fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power. Don't forget, verse 16 says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him. The first he is referring to the John that the angel is talking about, right? And then the second him is talking about the God that the John is going to turn their hearts to. To ensure that you can explain that properly. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, so this was an angel bringing a message down to Zechariah. And he's saying, the child, a messenger, the child will be born and he will be a messenger who will prepare the way of the Lord. He's going to make ready the people. He's going to prepare them. A child, we know the prophecy says a child will be born before another child, right? A messenger will come before one. A man will go before the Lord. All right, so we see what was spoken here. The angel said it in verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Okay, flip to Malachi. Malachi 4, we're doing a comparative analysis. Is this what was said? Is this the person we're expecting? Malachi 4, verse 6. And it shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So does that correspond to what the angel said? Okay, so go back to Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Okay. So that was what the angel said in verse 17. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people of the Lord. So this is obviously the messenger that Malachi prophesied about that is about to come right now. Okay, now let's see. Let's continue. Luke 1, the same Luke 1, 57. The angel said, your wife Elizabeth shall conceive and have a child. Luke 1, 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father, because Zacharias was dumb and he could not say what the child's name was. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and praised God. Okay, so the prophecy, the angel came and said, a child will be born according as it is written. And we see in this verse that the child was indeed born, and the child was called John. And miracles accompanied his birth. Okay, now let's see 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, you know, we said that a prophet is known by what he said, right? So we have to examine his message. What he's saying now, is he in line with what all the prophets have been saying from Genesis? Let's see what he said. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So what Zechariah is saying? Is he confirming what the prophets have said? Yes. So Zechariah is saying the Lord has visited his people. That is, the Lord has come down to his people. And this is what the prophets have been saying, that he has raised up a horn of salvation from David, the house of David. And this is the same thing the prophets have been speaking before the world began. All right, let's continue to 71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Now, see what he said, that the oath which was promised to our father Abraham. You know, when we are reading the Old Testament portion, we are saying, I will deliver you, and I will take you out of the hands of your enemies. And all the prophets were thinking that, or the people then at that point in time, would think that the enemies were referring to who? To the Egyptians. You know, the Israelites had several enemies per time. Israel, Egypt, Midian, Philistine, Assyria, they were just having enemies up and down. Babylon, people at every time. So when they keep hearing, I will deliver you from the hands of their enemy, their mind will always go to their physical enemies. Now, Zacharias is rephrasing it, that the oath that was promised to our fathers, that we will be delivered from our enemies, it means it has not happened. But now it's about to happen. That means Assyria was not the enemy. Egypt was not the enemy. Because the Israelites have been delivered from all those ones. They were in their land already. And yet he's saying that the oath that was promised to our father, that we will be delivered from our enemies, is about to happen. So the real enemy was not those ones. Okay. Verse 74. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. The purpose is for them to serve without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. Now, Zechariah just concluded the summary of what the prophets have been prophesying about. Then he continued, and thou child, referring to John, shall be called the prophet of the highest. A prophet is a messenger, right? So corresponding with what was said in the prophecies, that I will send a messenger before me. And he's saying you shall be a messenger of the highest. The highest there means the most high, the supreme. That is a name used for divinity to describe God, the highest. So he's saying you will be a messenger of God. He is going to come and prepare before the highest to prepare the way. A messenger. You send a messenger ahead. Okay. Verse 7:6, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. So highest, Lord, the same person. Verse 7:7, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Talking about the visit again, that God is now, you know, he's about to come into humanity. He's about to visit mankind. Verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. So the prophecies of what Zechariah said, we can accept it because it's in tandem, it's in line with all that the prophets have been speaking about, from Genesis down to Malachi. But the difference is that at this time, Zechariah did not speak about it as a far future event, the way the prophets have been saying. They used to say, there shall come, there shall come, there shall come in those days. But Zechariah made it like, this is now. The time has come. Okay, we have talked about who the messenger was. Now let's go back. Isaiah 7. Let's go back to another prophecy. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14. Don't forget what we said. The prophets can be speaking in multitude of words and events, but we are careful to sift out what the message is in the multitude of all they are speaking. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this was a prophecy, an utterance of Isaiah of what was going to happen. A virgin will conceive. Now let's see Matthew and compare. Matthew 1. This person must come in the volume of the books. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. We have seen John, who is the messenger. Now we are seeing someone else. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, by the prophet there, I mean who? Isaiah. What Isaiah said, what we just read. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What does that mean? God with us. God amongst us. He's simply saying that in the genealogy of men, in the genealogy of men, when you take a census of all that ever lived in the world from the inception of the world, if you take a record, who has lived here, you will be able to identify God inside. That of the men that have lived on earth, God was there. God with us. God amongst us. God as a man. That God became a man. That is what that he was talking about. He's not talking about the indwelling. But he's saying God with us, that God will be a man. Okay, let us trace it. Let's see, look again. Different confirmation accounts, not just one. As I, we have four Gospels. Four. Luke 1, verse 26. Let's see how Luke recorded this. Then, and in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed are thee among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, is this in line with what we have been studying in the morning about the description of the person that will come? He will be the Son of the Highest. Don't forget, highest there was already referring to the divine one. And he said this will be known as the Son of the Highest. He will reign over the house of his father David. That means we are going to trace his ancestry. He's coming from David. And also, his kingdom shall be eternal, and it shall be no end. Forever kingdom. No end to his dominion. Same thing the prophets have been talking about. And the angel was describing this person that Mary will be conceived with. Now let's go and trace. Is he really of the tribe of David? Let's see. Luke chapter 3. We have two genealogies of Jesus written there. The genealogy of Jesus. Because it is necessary that you must prove this seed to David as an offspring of David. Luke chapter 3. Wow. How many of you like Chronicles? Begat, begat, begat. Ah. Okay. Verse 30, 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Ah, we have to read it too, because we need to prove that he is of the son of David. Okay, are you ready? Be patient. Any name I don't pronounce properly, just pardon me. It's not my own language. Which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Naum, which was the son of Esli, which was the son of Nage, which was the son of Matt, why are they repeating these names? Which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Semaiah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joanna, okay, Joanna, Ressa, Zorobiel, Salatiel, Neri, Melchi, Adi, Kosam, Elmodam, Jose, Eleazar, Jorim, Matat, Levi, Simeon, Judah, Joseph, Jonah, Eliakim, Melia, Menam, Matata, oh my God, that sounds like tongues. Nathan, David. Okay. Have we arrived at David? Well, it's not over. We have to trace it to Abraham. No, we have to trace it to Abraham. Because he said it was the thing came to Abraham, right? Abraham and your seed. Okay, let's continue. Jesse, Obed, Boaz, Salmon, Nason, Aminadab, Aram, Esrom, Pharez, Judah, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham. Have we reached Abraham? But it's not over yet. You know he said thy seed. Started from where? Genesis. Abi? Where was the seed first mentioned? You think all those Old Testament Israel really was a joke? We must trace it though. Okay, let's continue. We have stopped at Abraham now. Okay. Tara, Nako, Saruj, Ragau, Falek, Heba, Salah, Kaina. Oh my God. How can that be Hafazad? It's not possible. Okay, it's not English. It's not Hafazad. Afaxad, Shem, Noe, Lamech, Methuselah, Enoch, Jared, Melia, Cana, Enos, Seth, Adam. Hallelujah. Have we traced this genealogy of Jesus? Can we link him to David? Can we link him to Abraham? Can we link him to Adam? Okay, so that seed. But funny enough, we have two genealogies recorded, right? As proof in the Bible. This is one. Luke. Let's see the other one in Matthew. And you will notice that the name changed a bit. The names, some of them are not the same as it was in the first time. So why the discrepancy? Okay, this one just started from Abraham. From Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. See the introduction. He's trying to prove to you that this Jesus Christ is the son of David and is the son of Abraham. He's the seed. Verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac, then Jacob, then Judas, then Phares and Zerah, and Phares and Esrom and Aram and Abinadab and Nahson and Salmon and Boaz and Obed and Jesse. And Jesse begat David. Okay? So, now let's continue now. You know the son of David that was traced in Luke 3 was who? Nathan. But who are we seeing here? Solomon. Okay, continue. Solomon, Roboam, Abia. Is Abia that's there? Abia and Asa and Josaphat and Joram and Ozias and Joatham and Achaz and Ezekias and Manasseh and Amon and Josias and Jeconias Salatiel and Zerubbabel and Abiud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Akim, and Eliud, and Eleazar, and Matam, and Jacob, and Joseph, the husband of Mary, which was born of Jesus. Okay, two genealogies. Bible historians and researchers said those days the women genealogies were not recorded. Now they don't record them. They only deal with the men. But if it is going to be recorded, you will see it being written in descending order, while the male genealogy will be in ascending order. Do you understand? So even though this is not expressly said, but they are tracing Jesus to both Joseph and Mary, that from both you tie him to David. Do you understand? Is it clear? You will tie him to David. He's the son of David, both from the two biological side. Is that clear? From both Joseph and Mary are both from David. They have one great grandfather. Both Mary's lineage is also from David. Joseph's lineage is also from David. So from both sides, you cannot contest it. This seed is of the seed of Abraham. Checkmate on both sides. Is that clear? All right. So have we at least settled that one? That this person must be of the seed of Abraham. And the genealogy shows us that this, you will trace this man to David. Confirmation again of prophecy. Is the seed of David, the son of the highest. His name is Jesus. Okay, let's see when he was born. Matthew, we're already in Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Okay, before we read Matthew, let's see something in Luke 1. What the angels said to the shepherds. Then we'll come back to Matthew. Luke 1. All the confirmation that this is he that the prophets have been talking about. We've seen the prophecies that you will get pregnant. But did it actually happen? Luke chapter 2. Don't forget, Elizabeth and Mary was pregnant at the same time. You see it in Luke 1. Mary went to visit Elizabeth. We'll read it tomorrow when we're talking about the Son of God. Well, okay, let's just continue. Luke 2. And it came to pass, verse 1, in those days, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. Plenty history, but we know what we are looking for. And he went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we saw that the prophecy, you will give birth. We saw that Mary actually gave birth to a child. Then see what the angel said, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all men. So further confirmation that this Jesus, when he was born, was announced to the world as the one that we have been waiting for. This is the person we have been waiting for. Shall be a sign for all people, Savior of all men. Okay, let's go back to Matthew now. Don't be tired of tracing this. You must be able to understand the sense of the scripture and not just say, we know that the scripture is about Christ. Be able to show it line upon line. Okay, let's see Matthew 2:15. Okay, we start reading from 13. And when they were departed, this was when the wise men had finished visiting, Herod wanted to kill the child. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, Matthew 2, verse 13. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. We see how each step is to fulfill a prophecy. Let's see where it was written. Hosea. We like Old Testament today before we are done with this series. But like, Hosea 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So we see that when you are looking at the prophets, sometimes it will look like they're describing historical things. But in the midst of that, there is the message, which the fulfillment helps us trace. This is what was spoken about. So confirmation that even his going to Egypt and coming out there was going to be in line with what the prophets have said. It's going to be one of the ways we can find and know who is this person. Okay, so we have seen the second child that will be born and how the messenger has heralded it, and how he has now been born. Okay, let's go back to the first child that was born. Two children have been born, right? One is the messenger. The first one will be the messenger. Then the second one will be the highest, the son of the highest. Okay, so Luke 3. Let's revisit John. We have not forgotten about him. John. So Luke chapter 3. From verse 1. Now in the 15th, my God. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of is that I or L? Ituria, okay, and of the region of Trachonitis. That thing he said, and Lysanias as the tetrarch of Abilene. Okay. Too much episode of fellowship. We must be reading these names today. Verse 2. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. So this is the same John that was born, son of Zacharias. Verse 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. Remember we read this in the morning? Isaiah what? 40, verse 3. This is what was spoken about, that this is the job of the messenger. This is what the messenger would do. And here it was clearly said that John went around preaching as the prophet spoke concerning him. So John is doing his own ministry as a prophet foretold. Don't forget, all this history, they are also relevant because we must trace it. If you want to trace with the record that was this man really born, you will find it. That is why it is necessary. So even though the names are somehow, but we are grateful for them. Okay, so let's continue. John, that same Luke 3. Luke 3. The rest, all the other things, John was talking about his message and how he was turning their hearts back to God. But verse 15, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. So what did this mean? The Jews, which had the prophets or the books of the prophets, they all understood that a person was coming. This will be the anointed one. That's what the Christ means. This will be the Son of God. And when John came, because of his own fame, they started wondering, is he the Christ? Is he the one the scripture was talking about? Verse 16, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. God, scripture that Jesus did not quote, Jesus never repeated that fire. Let's see the same thing, Matthew 3. John made it clear that his own ministry was to make the way. He was not the Christ. John never lost sight of that. Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Okay, now let's see John 1. The scripture says John's ministry will be to prepare the way for the Messiah. He will come before the Messiah and he will show men the Messiah. So let's see John 1 now. Verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And then they asked him, what then? Are you Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, Who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What seest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. For he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe lasheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was what? Above before me. So, this was John's ministry. At this point, he has fulfilled it. His job was to prepare them, make a consciousness of salvation to be in the hearts of the Israelites. That was why he was telling them, hey, repent, turn away from your sins, bring forth fruit, meet to repentance. He was to give them a consciousness that they needed redemption. And he was to prepare the way and show them the Messiah. So when he identified Jesus and said, this is him I was telling you about. Confirmation. Jesus is the one that was to come. This was John's ministry, clearly stated. Now, let us go back to Jesus. John has identified Jesus, right? So we can leave John alone and now focus on the person that he identified. This person, Jesus, did he come in the volume of the books? Was he who the prophets have been talking about? Let us now start Isaiah. Are you ready for your comparison? Are you ready to compare? Isaiah. Isaiah 61. You must be able to prove from every part of the scripture what the scripture is about. Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be fulfilled. Okay, this is a prophecy speaking about the Christ. And this is what the Christ will do. Let us see, look for how is this linked to Jesus. Luke chapter 4. This is Bible study. Luke 4. Are we ready? From verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Where we went to read now. I remember when we talked about in part 4 or part 5 that the scriptures were not tampered. That is the same thing. Okay, so you see the same thing written here. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. clear checkmate. This scripture is about me. This day is it fulfilled. I have read it. This is me that the scripture was talking about. Is that clear? Okay, let's continue. What else does the scripture say concerning him? Psalm 78. We examine how he was born, his life, and everything that he did. Was it in line with what the scripture said? Psalm 78, verse 2. Bible study. I like this. Psalm 78, 2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Okay, let's go back. Let's see. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 3. And he spake many things unto them. Okay, let's so that we know it's talking about Jesus from verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, and he continued and spoke a parable to them. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Go back, verse 34. The same chapter. Verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So, even his teaching style, did the scripture prophesy about it? And we see it clearly here, that his teaching style was according as the scripture said it will be. Let's continue again. There are so many places, I don't think we'll be able to exhaust it, but we'll try our best. Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, okay, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall all the Gentiles trust. So where was this spoken about concerning him? Let's see Isaiah. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, from verse 1, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail or be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. So don't forget, the Pharisees were trying to kill him, right? And then he was still doing what he was doing, but he commanded them, hey, keep it low key. Why? Because he will not deliberately seek out trouble. That's what he was saying there. The prophecy was talking about him. That this one will not deliberately go and seek out trouble. Until his time is right. Until the time is come. So that is why you see him hiding at times when the thing has entered, the thing has gone red. he'll go and hide or just miraculously go away from their midst. Because he was not, Hebrews Richard, you know, he will not deliberately seek out trouble until his time has come. This was what the scripture said concerning him. All right, let us see another scripture that was another prophecy concerning the Messiah that was also said a lot of times. Psalm 23. How many of you know Psalm 23? Psalm 23. How many of you have prayed that prayer? Use Psalm 23 as a prayer point. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Psalm 23 from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. All the blessings you have visited, say several times. All the blessings you have visited to attract. What did he mean? All the, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and the mind, your, the enemy your mind is going to, is that your neighbor that does not greet you? What was he talking about? All right, let's continue. Let's see Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. This was a recurrent prophecy. Remember that place? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. That means he was referencing that this shepherd who will do all these things is the Lord. Ezekiel 34. 34. 34 verse 11. For thus said the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. So, who is talking now? God. The prophet is prophesying as God. Because he has already condemned what the shepherds, the others were doing. If you see it from verse 1, you see that there were other shepherds who were exploiting the sheep. Then in 11, he now said, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. They shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will fill them with judgment. Okay, let's see 23. Start from 22. Therefore will I save my flock, and there shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, has spoken it. You know, we read this, is it in part 4? Talking about the fact that this was not going to be David personified, but the one that will come from him. Okay, let's see the fulfillment. John 10. Did Jesus, was he this? John chapter 10. You ready to read? Okay. Verily, verily, from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbed up unto some way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but we flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now this is a parable. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were, which he spake about. Now, verse 7, Jesus is now explaining the parable. Verse 7. Happy, look at your Bible. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and go out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that thou might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and what? One shepherd. So is this in line with what was said? That all the sheep will be gathered into one fold, and then one shepherd will be appointed. And Jesus said here that I am that shepherd. I am that shepherd that was spoken about. I am the good shepherd. I am the Lord your shepherd. So you cannot read Psalm 23 and claim all the blessing and everything and not believe in Christ. That's an exercise in futility. The Lord your shepherd is Christ. He said he is the shepherd. Okay. Now let's see. This is where it's going to start getting. You have to just follow closely. Let's see something Moses said. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. Verse 18. I will raise them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto thy words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now Moses said twice that a prophet will come, him you must hear in all things. Why did he say prophet? How did the people know Moses? Moses to them was who? Was a prophet. Now, see the reverence that they gave Moses. If Moses was going to say, somebody else is coming, which you should also pay attention to, how will Moses describe him? A prophet. That was how the people understood. But you see the same description. This was literally almost the only place that said prophet. But most time you see king, you will see shepherd, you see a lot of description, fitting, describing one person, plenty descriptions. Okay, let's see. But don't forget what Moses said. He said, I will raise up a prophet from among your people. That means this prophet cannot come from Yoruba. As some persons in this religion believe that the prophet Moses was talking about is their prophet. But Moses said, the prophet will be from amongst you, from your midst. We must trace you to the same David that has been spoken about. Okay, now let's see the discussions. John 5. John chapter 5. Please ensure you are noting the Old Testament portion, where the script prophecies were, and its fulfillment. John 5, verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, this is Jesus saying that Moses wrote concerning him. And let's see John 6. John 6, verse 14. This was the people now referring to Jesus. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Remember when they were questioning John the Baptist? They were asking him plenty of things. Are you the Christ? Or are you that prophet? Do you understand? So they have an understanding of a Christ, but what Moses also said was a prophet. So they were arguing. Then these ones now say, this is definitely the prophet that was to come. But let's see John 7. Let's see where their confusion manifested. John 7. This was after Jesus had said, "If anyone thirsts, out of me shall flow rivers of living water, and they should drink more." Let's continue. That one we'll look at that another day. Verse 39. 40. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying," John 7:40, "said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet,'" referencing to what Moses said. Verse 41, "Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'How shall Christ come out of Galilee? Had not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" Then see verse 52. "They answered and said unto him, 'Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet.' And they went to their own houses." But what was their confusion? They are saying that the Christ must be traced to Bethlehem. Some people say that it must be Galilee, Nazareth. And others were arguing that no, it should not be Galilee, it should be Bethlehem. That's what the scripture said. Now let's see the fulfillment. Let's see fulfillment. Isaiah 9. Don't be tired. This is your study, your Bible. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. Turn around up soon. Verse 1. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in our vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations." Now he's describing Galilee. "The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined." Okay, now let's see Matthew 4. Matthew 4. So Isaiah in the prophecies pointed their attention to Galilee in Nazareth. Matthew 4, verse 12. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.'" So where did Jesus live? Galilee. In fulfillment of scriptures. But the scripture also said that he will be born in Bethlehem, because we must trace this one to Bethlehem. So see Matthew 2, that this one will have ties and be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." So where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Let's see where it was written. Micah 5. Open your Bible. Just be opening. This is a comparative analysis. Micah 5. Verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and of everlasting." So did Jesus fulfill all that? Whether Nazareth, Galilee, Bethlehem, did he fulfill all in his life? Yes. That it might be fulfilled what was spoken. So the prophets might have given him different descriptions. But don't, like what we said two times, part five, we are focused on their message. So whether they call him a prophet, a king, a branch, a root, anything, they were describing one person. And Jesus, in his life, fulfilled all to ensure that this is the person. Now let's focus on the last part. We'll go to the last part now. We have looked at his birth, we have looked at his life and his ministry. The prophecies also said that through him, miracles and healings will be done. Isaiah. Let's see Isaiah. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Verse 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap up as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall break out streams in the past in the desert. So, what did the prophet talk about? That this man will what? He will open blind eyes. He will heal the sick. He will make the cripple walk. Did Jesus do this? So many examples. We don't even know where to start from. But let's just see two. Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9. Wow. Matthew 9. Bible study for believers. Matthew 9:27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe you that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Matthew 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind, dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is this not the son of David? All right, John. John 11. Vine, open your Bible. John 11. John chapter 11. Verse 16. This is a long read. But this is the story of who? Lazarus, right? So Jesus healed Lazarus. Lazarus was dead and Jesus brought him back to life. So these were diverse miracles that Jesus did. Blind, sick, any form of diseases. Bible says recorded that he healed them all in confirmation of what was said. Now let us talk about his sacrifice. His sacrifice. His sacrifice. Matthew 21. We have to examine. The Bible says the person that is coming will come in the volume of the books, in the entirety and totality. It is a lot, so you must study it. Matthew 21. Okay. Are we there? From verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, Then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. Jennifer, are you following? The Lord has need of them. And straightway we send them. Verse 4. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell he the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Where was this written? Zechariah 9:9. We read it this morning. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. We read that in the morning. Okay, verse 6. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set him on thereon. Verse 8. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. But remember where this was spoken about. See Psalm 118. We'll check it again. Psalm 108. Just smiling at this study. Psalm 118. We read this earlier in the morning. The utterances of David. Okay. Verse 25. Psalm 118, verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee. Remember when you said that save now means Hosanna? The call to save, the cry for salvation. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So the utterances that the people were going to say concerning this Christ or this Jesus must be even according to the scriptures. And have we seen it? Yes. Okay, now let's see another event. Zechariah. Zechariah 11. Wow. I'm so happy with this study. Zechariah 11. The triumphant entry, how he entered into Jerusalem for his sacrifice was spoken about. It was written there. He will come riding upon an ass, and the people will say these things in his praise. Everything happened as it was written. Zechariah 11. Verse 12. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. What was he saying? He said, right, what is my worth? And then they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And the prophecy was saying, this is the price with which I will be priced at, right? Okay, Matthew 27. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he bought opportunity to betray him. So even in the midst of, you know what was happening in Zechariah was like they were building a temple. Yet in the midst of all those plenty things, we pick out what was relevant. That the one that will come will be priced at 30 pieces of silver. So did that happen? Yes, as it was written in the scriptures. Okay, let's continue. Now you open Psalm 22 on one side, put your hand, open Psalm 22 on one side, put a divider there, and open Matthew 27 on another side, so we can be fast. Psalm 22. And Matthew 27. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay. Now, this was after the event that Judas had sold Jesus and was carried about. Let's see what was said. Matthew 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off with him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. Okay, now let's see verse 42 again. Likewise also, the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Okay, verse 46. Now about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 48. And straight away one of them ran, and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. Okay, now go to your Psalm 21, like we said. Let us now examine the events. Psalm 22, Verse 1, what's the first thing there? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou far from helping me in the words of my roaring? All right, verse 12. Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, my tongue cleaved to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garment upon them and cast lots upon my vesture. Okay, now let's go back to the Matthew 27. Okay, verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So did we see everything that's comparison? He was mocked. How he was mocked, everything that was done to him was written. Even the drinking of the vinegar was said in Psalm 69, verse 21. Everything concerning what he was going to pass through was prophesied already by the scriptures. Still don't paraphrase anything for you. You should read everything. Psalm 69:21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. So the insults, everything as it was recorded. Let's see John. Remember, David said, they pierced my hands and my feet. So he was crucified and nailed to the cross with his hands and with his feet. John chapter 19. John 19. Okay, the same thing. If you read it from verse 22, 23, talks about how they cast lot for the garment and how they rent it and how he was given wine and vinegar to drink. But let's see John 19, 34. John 19, 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there blood and water. And he saw it and bear record. And his record is true, and he knoweth that what he said is true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture said, they shall look on him whom they had pierced. That means, after the crucifixion, to be sure that all the others had died, the soldiers were breaking the legs of those that were already dead. But when it came to Jesus, they did not break any of his bones, because the scripture says that his bones shall not be broken. Psalms 34, verse 20. I'm wondering what kind of Bible study is this. Gross, be happy. Psalm 34, 20. Almost done. I can't stop this halfway. Psalm 34, 20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Same thing written in Numbers 9, verse 12, talking about how they will eat the lamb, that it will not, they should not break any of his bones. Talking about that sacrificial lamb for men's sins, but that also will focus on the next part. So that's why I'm not going there yet. Okay, so his death, as was written by the scriptures. The scripture says he would die. Did Jesus die? Let's start from Matthew. Overwhelming evidence. Same evidence in all the scriptures, in all the gospels, that Jesus would die. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Let's see Mark. In all the scriptures, it was written, all the gospels, that Jesus died. It is not disputable. Mark 15, 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and did what? Gave up the ghost. Let's see Luke. Luke chapter 23. The scriptures are about Christ. You must be eager to study it. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Let's see John's account. John 19. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So overwhelming from scriptures. Did Jesus die? Yes. Okay, now, was that the end? Let's see Psalm 16. Let's see what the prophet said concerning that in Psalm 16. Should be done in hopefully 10 minutes. Hallelujah. We believe and receive. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So, this is already an event talking about somebody dying. And he's saying that when a man dies, his spirit leaves his body, right? And what is left is his flesh. And if the man continues in that state of death, what will happen to the body? It will decay. So, he's saying that the flesh, his body, will rest in hope because his soul will not be left in hell. His soul is going to come back to the body. So the Holy One will not see corruption. Was David speaking about himself? No, because David died and he never came up again. But what was he speaking about? He was saying that the Holy One will not see corruption. The Holy One that died will resurrect, will come back from the dead. This Jesus will come back from the dead. The scriptures said it. Matthew, we looked at it again throughout the whole Gospels. Matthew 28. Verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Okay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So the scripture spoke that Jesus would not, his body would not decay because he was going to resurrect. And here we see it clearly said that he was risen. And not just that it was risen and it was like film trick. People saw him. He appeared to people. They were able to touch him and they were able to salute him and he spoke with them. Let's see Mark. If only one gospel records this, we might be suspicious of it. But let's see Mark 16. Verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place which they laid him. Let's see what Luke said. Luke attested to the same thing, that this Jesus resurrected from the dead. Luke 24. Luke 24. From verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They wanted to anoint his body. And when they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So, why seek you the living among the dead? Jesus is not dead. He is alive. He is living. He died. Because this religion denies that fact, that Jesus did not die. But he died. The scripture clearly said that he died. The prophecy said he was going to die. And he died. But he did not end there. He also rose again. John 21, all the gospels recorded the same thing. John 21. Or John 20. Okay, it was John 20. Okay. Trying to see where we can start reading from. We'll read everything now. Okay, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. The disciples had all come and they saw that the tomb was empty. Okay, so Mary stood at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked onto the sepulchre and saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Past tense. The body was there. It was no longer there. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, because the people did not know that he had risen, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, that is to say, Master. So, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she has seen the Lord, and that he has spoken these things unto her. So we have overwhelming evidence as well that Jesus resurrected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so have we been able to trace everything about him in the volume of the books? From his conception to his birth to his forerunner, the prophet that will come before him, to how he will do ministry, how he will teach, how the miracles he will do, that he will die, that he will be buried, he will be resurrected again. All from the same scriptures. So did Jesus come in the volume of the book? Does this man fit what the prophets have been saying? Yes, overwhelmingly. So we have seen that there is a coherence in the scripture. The central message that the prophets carried was all fulfilled. All. Tola. Right. The central message that the prophets all spoke about, everything was fulfilled in Jesus. There was no prophecy that he did not fulfill. None. 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 Jesus was their prophecies personified. All the things they were saying, personified, was Jesus. John 1, this is what it means. All their message, because the prophecy is their message, that central message, that central information God placed in the heart of man. And we have seen that everything they were talking about is this man Jesus. So he is the message. He is the message. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that is what it means there. That Jesus is the message, the Word, the utterances of the prophets personified. And Jesus himself confirmed it. That's in John 1:14, when John said, And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John 1, verse 1, he said that the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word existed, that message from the beginning. And we have traced it, right? That the message existed to Adam from the beginning. And John 1:14, he says that this message was now made flesh. And that flesh is Jesus. Okay? All right, now Jesus himself confirmed that all the scriptures was about him. No exceptions. John 5. Round this up in 5 minutes. Our salvation is nearer than when we first began. John 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So Jesus said it, that the scriptures you are searching for, the scriptures you are searching through, they are pointing you towards me. They want you to come to me. The life is found in me, not in the scriptures, because the scriptures were pointing you and speaking about me. He said the same thing in Luke 24. I know you know it, but please open Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 25. Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of hearts, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. From all the scriptures, verse 44. And he said unto them, Luke 24, 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was spoken in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So their understanding the scriptures will mean what? Will mean that they will be able to see what we have just done. That, hey, these scriptures are actually speaking about him. So to understand the scriptures is to understand that the scriptures were speaking about Christ. Nothing else. There is no special understanding you will get from the scriptures outside this. A man who understands the scripture is a man who sees Christ as the central message that the prophets have been heralding. Who sees this man Jesus, the same one that the prophets have spoken about. Same Christ, same. See the testimony of him in John 1. Just flip to the next verse from where you were. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Jacob. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So the people recognized that the scriptures were speaking about a man. Scriptures were speaking about somebody, and this is him, Jesus. If you cannot see this, you have not understood the scriptures yet. That is why we have to go around with overwhelming proof to show that this Jesus is the Logos of God, is the Word of God, is the message of God. And Jesus himself distinguished himself from every other prophet. He never tried to say, I am one of them. No. Let's just see two more scriptures and then we'll close. Let's see Luke 11. Okay, we'll read Luke 11 tomorrow. Let's see John 4. John chapter 4, verse 12. John 4, 12. This was Jesus and the woman at the well. Open your Bibles. John 4, 12. Art thou greater, the woman was asking Jesus, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank from it himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So the woman was trying to compare you. Are you greater than Jacob? He said, obviously, what I will give you will be better. John 8, they asked him the same question. Are you greater than Abraham? Same question posed to him. Are you greater than Abraham? Verse 53, John 8, 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Because Jesus is saying, anybody that believes in me will never die. And he said, Abraham died. All the fathers died. Are you greater than them? Okay. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the message that came to Abraham was me. That was what Jesus was telling them. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus was not mincing words. He told them every time, I'm greater than the prophets. I'm greater than Moses. Moses wrote about me. David was talking about me. When they were trying to say, you are the son of David. Yes, that is why it's called the roots and the offspring of David. He was also before David. That is why he said David called him his Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So this is Jesus. Jesus. All I've been saying today, part 6 and 7, is to show you that Jesus is the central message. That is why when we say the Bible is not the word of God, you must understand what was being said. When we say the Bible is not the word of God, because in the, like when we are searching through, inside it, will you see plenty prophecies or plenty histories? Yes, from parts 3 and 4, we already looked at it, that the Bible contains a lot of histories and documents. But what is the word of God that we have been talking about? The central message. That central message has been passed around in prophecies. But where can we find it? Yeah. So even though the entirety of it is not, but the message, the word can be found in the Bible. Okay? So when you just say the Bible is not the word of God, explain. The Bible contains the word of God. The word of God is a person, Jesus, written and personified in Christ. His flesh, alive, breathing. That is the message. Christ is the message. The divine will communicated to man by God is a man. Is a man. Is a man. Is a man. Greater than Moses. Greater than Solomon. He told them, a greater than Solomon is here. He also told them, a greater than Jonah is here. All your prophets, it was me they were talking about in types and shadows. I am the message. They got it in bits and fragments. I am the completion. I am the one in the volume of the books. Everything is about me. So when you search the scriptures, you must see Jesus. If you don't see him, you have not searched it yet. We see our Jesus. We don't just see one of the prophets. We don't see anyone else. We see Christ. So, like we said, previous prophets will trace their prophecies, and how we can say that these ones have relevance is if their prophecy contains the message, right? So all those people prophesied until Christ sent one central message, and all they were saying was a man that is coming, and we have searched and seen that it has been fulfilled. So can there arise another prophet after this? If prophecies are to happen again, it will still revolve around the same man. Not that he is coming, but what he has done. How do we know a prophet? Today, you must still speak about the same person. You must still speak about the same message. That is how we know who you are. So if you ever say an utterance, if you ever say anything that negates this central message, what God has communicated as his divine will, if you say anything against it in any way, that Jesus did not die or that he was not resurrected, you are not a prophet. You are bringing a message that is different from this. So even though Jesus has resurrected and lived and fulfilled what the scripture said about him, we still have prophecies today. We'll continue on that maybe in part 10. And you will see that we have prophecies. Prophecies has not ceased, but they are all still regulated and centered around that central message, which is Christ. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. So the next time we're going to continue to answer that question that they always argue. Is Jesus the Son of God? How is he the Son of God? Is he, or did God give birth? Can God give birth? We'll see that in scriptures. So just bow your head and pray. That your eyes see these things even more clearly. That you are able to pick up any book in the Bible. Any book. And bring out Jesus. Otherwise, your search is not complete. You have not learned. If you cannot communicate Jesus clearly from the Bible, the scriptures all spoke concerning him. All spoke concerning him. You'll be able to see this clearly. Conviction will be birthed in your heart. That when you pick the scriptures, you will not be seeing financial principles. You will not see motivational speeches. You won't see good relationship, whatever. Centrally, you will see Jesus. You will not be one of such who abuse the Bible and use it for all manner. You understand that the scriptures are about Christ. About him fully, 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 fully. fully. And that is what gives our utterances weight. Weight. Because we understand that the message is about Christ. We are able to explain him well, and we are able to bless men, and we are more proficient in prophecy. So we are going to have an edification session. We are going to have it in groups, not like the one that we do one-on-one. You will be paired in groups of fours, where you will ensure that in your communication to one another, you will show men this Christ. You are a prophet, a relevant prophet, because you can do it better. You understand who the message is about, who he is about. All right, let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. So put yourself in a group of fours. Just arrange yourself, of course, workers, you know you will not be together.